With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here with an Arsenal update here on Transfer Deadline Day, joined, of course, by Dan. You can find on Twitter at @_jersey_fits. You can also find his writings and voice on EPL Index, and obviously this podcast as well. So an absolute pleasure having you back on, Dan. As far as transfers go, the big one looming all day, finally gets done minutes before the end of the window, is the signing of Thomas Partey, of course, from Atletico Madrid. He's obviously a very good player. It sounds like it's going to be pretty big wages. Numbers I've seen anywhere from 200 to 260K a week. First of all, I guess we'll just start with the purchase and the player. Are you glad to have him in, and where do you see him fitting in the midfield?
So my opinion on him is complicated. I think he improves us. He improves the team. I think he is a better player than the current midfielders we have now. But for the price we are paying for him and the wages, based on the Guardian's reporting and the Athletic, it looks like it's about 250K a week. The Guardian officially reported 250K, and the Athletic, you can just kind of reverse math it. They said in excess of 100 million euros. So if you take away the transfer fee and then take the wages, it eventually gets to around 250K a week. So that's what I'm assuming it is. I don't think he improves us enough to justify the resources we're giving to him. I think a midfield of Partey and Ceballos could be pretty good. But considering we're spending a lot of money, 50 million euros in the circumstances everyone's in, the pandemic and the no fans, which will significantly decrease our revenue. According to John Cross, Kroenke had actually had to underwrite this. So we're already dipping into the owner's pockets. All that money for a midfield that could be pretty decent is not great. So in terms of just the improvement he gives us, I'm not sure it's enough. And then in terms of where that improvement takes us, that's the other thing. If we were like clearly the fifth best team, this could move us to the fourth best team. Absolutely do it. That's a very meaningful barrier to hop over. Whereas I think this is more, it might move us from like the seventh or eighth best team to like maybe the fifth or sixth. That's less meaningful. Obviously, even if you're saying we're going for the eighth best team and sixth best team, that's fewer spots than 5-4, but it's just a much less meaningful barrier. We make significantly less money off it because we theoretically wouldn't be in the Champions League in that. So as much as I do think he's a decent player and that he improves the team, I don't really like the signing. The age profile doesn't really make sense for the position we're in as well, because I am very much under the impression we're probably not making top four this season. I think we're pretty clearly worse than Liverpool, City, United, Chelsea, Spurs, Everton, and maybe Leicester. Everton and Leicester are a bit more familiar, but I really think like Everton have looked very good, and I was pretty low. I thought they definitely had a high ceiling this year. Whether it came together or not, we didn't know, but DCL looks to have taken the leap, or at least might. James is really good still, even if he's a bit old. Same with Allen. Like, those were almost similar to Partey, and like, yeah, they're old, so they may not be great signings, but they are very good still. Or they are very good.
Yeah, and they're a better team now for having them.
Yeah, they're a much better team now for it, and they, who knows, might make a top four run. I kind of doubt it, but at least a Europa League run. So I don't think we're going to finish top four, and Partey's already 27, so by the time we're unlikely to make any of that money we've invested back. Investing all those resources for a player who makes us a bit better, and that improvement is not a significant benchmark to reach, I don't really agree with it. You know, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he's just a better player than I think he is. And the team is better than I think it is. But if it's not, this could look to be not a great signing, even if he is a good player. And I do think does improve the team.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like your thoughts on Willian that we talked about in the summer a bit. But sticking with Partey a bit more, I know Xhaka's finally gotten back into the side. He can play kind of that furthest back, either in a midfield three or in a 4-2-3-1. Do you think we'll see maybe the latter with him next to Partey, or do you think that they're rotated with each other?
I'm not sure what I think we'll see. That's probably a decent bet because Arteta seems to really like Xhaka, and Xhaka seems to be a very important voice in the dressing room as well as on the pitch. For whatever faults you see him as a player, and I see plenty, he definitely seems like he's an excellent leader based on just all reporting and the fact that players love him. And he does seem to have that kind of, you know, in basketball the analogy is the coach on the floor, the point guard is the coach on the floor. He seems to have that about him. So there's a decent chance he plays regularly, which means it could be Xhaka and Partey. Maybe it'll be Partey and Ceballos. I don't know. I think that's what I'd prefer, but I don't know. We'll see how they pair together. A lot of midfield partnerships really do end up between like chemistry and how they work together, as opposed to, you know, what you imagine in your head. What I imagine in my head is that Ceballos and Partey would probably be the best one, but I don't know if that's what we'll see, and that could be wrong. Who knows?
All right, well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that. And I do think one of the good things about having that many talented midfielders is it does let you change things around. I think that's one of the things that we're seeing at Tottenham now is all of a sudden we have depth and we're like, oh, we can line up differently for different oppositions to try to accomplish different things. So if anything, I think that's really the benefit for you there is if you're trying to play defensively, you can play Xhaka with Partey. If you're trying to play in a more attacking style, then yeah, it could be Ceballos, as you mentioned. We've already mentioned a lot of other names here, but on the whole for this window, you get in Gabriel from Lille, if memory serves. You bring in Willian, who I just mentioned. Pablo Mari and Cedric both have their loans turned into permanent deals. The Cedric one, I think I was a little surprised by because when he was hurt when he joined, I kind of felt like that was going to be who was the Swedish guy that joined in the January
Kim
window?
Kallström.
Yeah. And like nothing ever happened. On the way going out, speaking of the midfield areas, you have Torreira and Guendouzi both go out, who at one point were supposed to be the future of the Arsenal midfield. Also, I'd say you let Martinez go, but getting 20 million for your backup keeper is a very good bit of business, considering we couldn't even convince Everton to take Gazzaniga on a loan. But with all of those pieces moving in and out, how do you view Arsenal's window on the whole? And do you think it fit a particular strategy, or was it just buy good players when they're available?
It's weird because I think better team for the window, but I'm also not particularly high on the window. Both the Willian and Partey deals really just color my view of it pretty negatively.
Like long term, but like we were saying, in theory, you're a better team with both.
Yeah, in theory, we're a better team today. Again, back to the whole Partey thing, it's how much better we are, and does that improvement hit a certain barrier, which I don't think it does. And then when it doesn't, that means we're going to still be relying on these guys to get us to that point when their contracts are still going and they're not as good players, when they're on the decline. If they're not already on the decline, in Willian's case.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I don't love the window on the whole. Gabriel looks really good, though. If I'm going to throw out a positive, he looks great. It's early, obviously, so that could change. But to this point, no reason to think he'll be anything other than a success. So that's really nice because, you know, a good center back, 23 years old, that's an objectively good signing. Interesting thing about the Sheffield United game yesterday actually was that he was preferred to David Luiz in the center of the back three. He actually pushed Luiz to the right. So whatever that means, maybe it's just can only play in this, or they just can't play there. I don't know. But the fact that he was preferred to Luiz and forced him out, who is our most experienced central defender and generally seems pretty well liked in the club throughout the club, seems significant. So that's nice. Again, he's very good. But the Willian, really the Mari and Cedric deals, they're weird because we don't really think of them as part of this window, but technically they are. Don't love those either, especially Cedric. Like, we have three right backs now, which just doesn't make sense. We gave him a lot of money and he's pretty old. So that those signings don't look great. And then one thing that I think is significant that we didn't do was we really didn't sell players when we have the chance. Martinez is actually a great example of good business, where he's a player who doesn't really, he's not a need, and we got a lot of money for him. So that's, and especially in a window where it looks like it's very difficult to get cash up front, considering the circumstances, to get $20 million for a backup keeper, as you say,
yeah, that's a great
excellent
point.
Business, really fantastic. The obvious counterpoint to that, or not counterpoint, but counterexample to that, is Ainsley Maitland-Niles, where it felt like, it seemed based on reporting, we had a concrete offer of between 15 and 20 million, depending on the source. And we did not take it. Apparently Arteta really did not want to let him go, which, you know, that is what it is. But now we have three right backs and we've seemed short money at the end of a window. It may or may not have been the difference between us getting Awa or not. We don't, I would have said that had we not signed Partey. Now I'm less sure, but, I think that was a real opportunity because a lot of Arsenal fans really like Ainsley Maitland-Niles because, you know, he's a homegrown player. He's kind of fun. He's like got a good personality. He takes insanely good penalties, but ultimately that's not necessarily what you need in the right back, especially if Hector Bellerin looking really, really good lately. I don't know how many minutes he'll get. And like, if we could get actual cash in a window like this, where it's hard to get that, I think we should have sold him. So that's another point. That's not even necessarily against window. It's just like, it could have been better, but we don't know that for a fact. So it's kind of tough to manage, but I don't know. I think the overall squad management wasn't great. There are some possible high points. If the Partey deal works out, then that improves it a lot. Even if I don't think it will, the Gabriel is a high point. Ceballos on loan isn't bad again, but I do think on the whole, it's more negative than positive.
Gotcha. If you had to put a grade on it, where would you go?
Probably 4 out of 10. Again, it really does hinge on results. Process-wise, I think even process-wise, you can really get on the Partey and Willian deals just for the age profiles. So yeah, probably a 4 out of 10.
Gotcha. Well, I agree that long-term it might not benefit you and you will have a lot of dead money, which is a very American phrase for contracts like that. But yeah, I do think it benefits you. I think to your point, though, it's definitely worth it if it gets you back into the Champions League places. But if you're going to just end up in the Europa League again, was it worth that level of investment? And I guess time will tell in that regard. Good news is that we have another transfer window in like 10 weeks. So if you want to further build on what you've done thus far, you can do so then. Speaking of what you've built thus far, it's a pretty good start to the season and a relatively quiet one, which is impressive considering all the craziness that's gone on since the start of this 2021 campaign. Thus far, 6 matches in all competitions, 5 wins, the one being a loss to Liverpool at Anfield, which I'd say you shouldn't feel too bad about, but we've seen some of those Liverpool results lately. But on the whole, very positive start to the season. Are you feeling like with the transfers coming in, we've all mentioned that it benefits you now, the good start to the season, that you could really build into something this year?
I think it'd have to take a pretty radical change in performances to get to top four. Like, I think we could absolutely improve as a side. That's kind of part of what goes into all that with the Partey and Willian stuff. Is like, I think we could clearly improve as a side and be a much better team than we were last season and still finish like 7th. So I think we could be improving, just not to the point of top four. And even like this season, the Fulham performance was unqualified success. We looked really good there. That was really nice. And like, I know that everyone will say it's Fulham, which like fair, but we were bad against the worst team in the league last year too. So like the fact that we could put together any competent attacking performance and really like clear, easily win a game away against even a bad team is still really encouraging. So that was very good. The West Ham performance was less good. We ended up getting outshot 14-7. We did win, so that's great. Banking points is always good, though it's not necessarily encouraging for future performances. If Liverpool won, we got destroyed, but that is what it is. They're very good. They played well on the night. Like, it's that was very top tier Liverpool performance, which is funny considering what they did the next week, but they were very good. When they play at that level, there's absolutely nothing we can do. No shame in that, is what it is. The Sheffield United performance is a weird one. It's probably like we're a better team, but it wasn't a dominating performance like you would have liked to see against a team who is currently 19th and has scored one goal all season. So that's, I don't know, that's kind of a, I'm not sure. I'll probably, the way I feel about performance will probably shift one way or the other based on how the next performances go. We'll see. But So we could be building something, but we're still 19th in shots this season. It's small sample, obviously. It's four games, but it's not, you know, all that encouraging. So I don't know. It's really hard for me to get positive, even with the good results, when I'm not sure we have the underlying indicators to think that they'll continue. But who knows? Maybe party will make a huge difference. Maybe the attack will get more coherent. I don't know. We'll see.
That's interesting, because in theory, your best 11 is now pretty good. I mean, the holes are definitely limited. Obviously, Luiz is capable of making mistakes. Gabriel's been very good, but obviously young and in his first season in the Premier League. But it looks a pretty strong first 11. Are you worried about depth, or what is it about the underlying statistics that just has you a little iffy? Because in theory, you're good in the attacking spaces with Partey. You've strengthened in midfield. The defense has improved. In theory, Leno is back and can continue to be what was it the halfway point last season where we said he'd probably been your best player at that point, obviously before the injury. In theory, you seem a pretty good team.
The problem is the attack is so theoretical because like our players are good. And I you know, you put an attack of Aubameyang, Willian, Pepe, or Lacazette, and Saka, and you're like, yeah, that's four good players, but we've just never actually been a good attacking team under Arteta. For all the talent there is, we've never put together a coherent attack. So that is really the thing. They haven't shown it to me. And it's not like we've got some massive influx of new attacking players. We've had good attacking players, and we still haven't been able to put anything together. You could argue maybe if we're more solid in defense now and midfield and we can throw more resources forward. I'm not really sure that that's going to happen, but really that's the big thing. We just have never yet. We are yet to prove that we are a good attacking team under Arteta, despite the personnel. Like I said, we're 19th in shots this season. We are only West Brom have taken fewer. We weren't a particularly good attacking team under Arteta last season. I don't have the numbers up in front of me, but we were pretty mid-table in both expected goals and shots. So that is really the concern, the fact that we've never actually been a good attacking team despite the personnel under Arteta.
Gotcha. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on all of that. We've already touched on it a couple of times now, but what are the expectations now? Is it maybe at least have a top four fight? Maybe you don't last the whole run, or are you just going to be happy with any European spot again?
I know the expectations around the club and the general fan base is top four, or at least a top four push. Mine are a bit lower, but that isn't really obvious from the rest of the podcast. I just want us to be a better team than we were last season, essentially. Like, there is a world where we have a clear plan, but we are executing. We are a good attacking team, consistently outshooting our opponents, and we finish seventh, and I can be happy with that. It really is about performances for me. Obviously, if I'm just wrong and we push on with these results and we're in a top four fight at the end of the season, but I'm going to want top four. But where I am now, it really is just be a better team than we were last year, and hopefully, you know, get into European spots again and try and push again, try and take another step next season. But that's where I'm at now.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, you're currently in fourth. I would typically wish a guest luck on maintaining that, although obviously with the allegiances on this particular segment, maybe harder to do for me. But I definitely think you have a chance. Just looking at my sheet, I realized I missed a question that I wanted to ask, and then we'll head out of here, which was, why did you wait so long to sign Partey? It became drama on deadline day, but you ended up just paying the release clause that you could have paid at any previous point. Were you keeping that money in reserve to try to track down Aouar, who at the last minute decided to just stay in France, or what led to that choice being made so late?
Yeah, obviously, I only know so much. According to the reporting in The Athletic, they just released an article on the whole Thomas Partey courtship, if you will. That seems to be the case. It's not entirely clear because we've been interested in Partey for years, at least since 2018. And we were interested in him earlier in the window and tried to negotiate with Atleti, and it just wasn't going to happen. And we could have had a release clause, and we didn't. And we seemed like we were going for Aouar, and that didn't happen. So now on the last day, we just be like, okay, yeah, we'll pay the release clause now. There does not seem to be a clear thought out reasoning or plan behind it, other than maybe like we thought we could get Aouar and then it didn't happen. So we went for Partey. But that's kind of a weird transfer strategy because they're not similar.
They're very not similar.
They're not at all similar, no. So that's not the most encouraging for future windows, because you know it's always good when your team has a option A and they can't get the option A for the option B to look very similar to the option A, because it shows they have a coherent plan and they know what they want. This doesn't scream that. The Jorginho links actually do, because he's somewhat similar to Partey, who's, you know, they're both good ball progressors, kind of in different ways, but they do, their main attribute is to progress the ball, which is another thing about Partey. He's thought of as more of a defensive midfielder, but really the way he plays at Leti and like his looking at is what he does statistically, seems he's more of a box-to-box ball progressor guy. Not that he can't win the ball, because he clearly does, but that doesn't seem to be his biggest strength, which is just another, not a good or bad, just a thing to take into account. But back to the original point, the Jorginho one, he actually is, you know, somewhat similar to Partey. The Aouar one, they're just totally different.
Yeah, my thinking was, what if they're just viewing Ceballos as really tactically flexible, and they were like, if we bring in Aouar, we can play Ceballos further forward, or we can play him further back in a two, but if we bring in Partey, we can play him as more of a 10. Do you think maybe that's how they could work around from going from a pure attacking midfielder to a mostly defensive one?
Maybe that is a sensible view.
It is a theory.
It is a theory, yes. I don't know if I really want Ceballos to play 10, because he wasn't great at it under Emery. Granted, that's under Emery, but, you know, that doesn't seem like his best position, but maybe that would be a theory that would fit. So that's possible.
Gotcha. I'll take it then. Well, we will leave it there. Talking about new Arsenal man, Thomas Partey, the new number 18, at the Emirates there. An absolute pleasure speaking with you, Dan. If you want to tell folks where they can find you or any of your work, now would be a good time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. You can get me on Twitter at @_jersey_fits. Welcome to the party.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.